Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my friend, Gail Summers, about the subject of mothers and whether or not to work. I want to ask you, Gail, what would you say is the cornerstone passage of Scripture that bears on this subject?
Well, I would say that it has to be Titus, the letter that Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2. And starting, well, let's just read the first verse of chapter 2 here, because this explains what Paul had on his mind when he wrote what he did to Titus. Chapter 2 in Titus, "You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine." You know, that to me says that what follows here is how are you going to teach your people to live out their lives in a way that lines up with the doctrine that we believe. That was the purpose that Paul had in writing to Titus. So then he goes on to talk about what to teach the older men. And in verse 3, he talks about what to teach the older women. And that's really the paragraph that I would like to look at right now. It says, "Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." Now, I think here, very conveniently, Paul has given us a good description of what those of us who fall into this category are supposed to be doing with our time. If we're wondering how we're supposed to live in this age, we can't do much better than look right here in verses 4 and 5. The older women have a responsibility to help the younger women to understand that this is what you're supposed to do. This is how life is supposed to look for you. You are to love your husband and your children. You are to be self-controlled and pure. You're to be busy at home. He spells it out that way. It really isn't left to how do we feel in the 20th century we're supposed to live out Christian doctrine. Paul says, this is how it's supposed to go. You teach your people and they teach each other.
I dish out this advice to people all the time, but I feel as if people can write me off because they say, well, you come from a generation 1,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. You don't really know the hard realities of life today. Mm-hmm. But you told us the other day that you are 40, mm-hmm. but you're an older woman, mm-hmm. aren't you? Mm-hmm. If you teach in a college, as you described yesterday, mm-hmm. This means that you do have an influence on younger women. And sometimes I've reminded audiences, every single woman in this audience is an older woman. If you're 20 years old, you have a tremendously powerful influence on a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. So this passage mm-hmm. is one that I don't think any of us can escape. Mm-mm. We are all meant to set an example for younger women. Mm-hmm. So go on and tell us what else Paul is talking about here.
Well, I think that the thing to go for right away is that most of us, most women today, would get extremely squeamish with the phrase, to be busy at home. Now, that would make
a red flag.
Yes, right. That would make a lot of women very squeamish. And the first thing that they would want to say, and I've heard women say it lots of times, is that Paul was writing to a very different culture from ours, that women in that culture would never have expected to do anything else. They wouldn't have had jobs. They didn't have education. There would never have been a thought to anything but staying at home, being busy at home, taking care of domestic matters. And what I want to say in response to that is that doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what was going on in that culture, in that century, in that time when Paul was writing.
How can you say that, Gail?
Because Paul does not root his teaching in this is the way people are doing things now, and this is the way we will do things. He roots his teaching in what God has ordained, what God has set up in marriage, what God has designed for husbands and wives. He is not talking about some cultural experience, like let's say washing the feet of the saints might be considered a cultural experience. That's what those people did in that day
to show that
they were, yes, honoring their guests. Mm-hmm. And he is not talking about something like that.
What kind of authority does Paul have?
Well, Paul has, now this, of course, is the hot question. This is what women will go for every time. What kind of authority does Paul have? Why should we listen to Paul? And, of course, people were quite happy to listen to Paul until the feminist movement began to suggest notions about the role of women that were directly opposite to what Paul had to say. And let's face it, Paul is the one who gives most all of the teaching about the role of women. Peter gives a little bit. And Jesus really doesn't talk that much about the role of men and women. It was left to the Apostle Paul. So when the feminist movement came along and started suggesting that women's roles were very different from what Paul was saying, unfortunately, I'm afraid Christians started running to the writings of Paul to see how they could loosen his authority and disconnect us from what he had to say.
His authority, which was actually apostolic.
Which is apostolic authority, right. So they started saying things like, well, he was speaking from his rabbinic background, he was speaking from a patriarchal society, and of course he was limited in that, so that he spoke what he knew, and those of us who are so enlightened in the 20th century now, we can look back on poor, pitiful Paul, and we can just sort of break up what has authority and what doesn't. So this patriarchal stuff now that we know that the patriarchal form was rubbish, we can sort of junk what Paul had to say that suggests or touches on that theme and go from there. And we're not really talking about a person who wants to know about the roles of men and women. We are talking about a person who has real questions about hermeneutics. How do you interpret the Bible? Are we at liberty to take something that Paul has written and from the 20th century look down on it and say, this just can't be true for us? If we could do that about the role of women, we could do that about homosexuals, which of course we know some Christians are wont to do. We could then move on to a lot of other things that Paul talked about, like the blood of redemption, the blood of the Lamb, and we could just basically dismantle the whole thing.
Comfortable with, right? People are always feeling that they must feel comfortable,
right.
And they say, well, I don't know about this guy, Paul. You know, I don't really feel very comfortable with him. I think he was sort of a male chauvinist.
Yes, exactly, right.
And I say to people that talk that way, I don't think you've read Paul very carefully, because nobody was more appreciative of women and of what women did to contribute to his ministry.
Mm-mm.
And I think he had an amazing understanding, which had to be beyond the scope of a bachelor or a widower or whatever he was when he wrote his epistles. He was apparently a single man at that time. Obviously, he was inspired by the Spirit of God, and you and I take what he says very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So this passage in Titus is the cornerstone passage, isn't it?
Well, I believe it is. There's another passage in 1 Timothy that also speaks about the role of women in a kind of an indirect way, but I actually think that this is an extremely helpful passage to those of us who want to get serious about living godly lives in this age. It has to do with how the church in that day drew up the list of widows, those women for whom the church was responsible, those women who had no other family members to take care of them. And in doing that, Paul gives a very clear and helpful summation of what the life of an adult Christian woman should have looked like by the time she got to widowhood. And I think that passage is one that we cannot neglect. Let me just read it quickly here. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. What could be more helpful? What could be clearer than that? This is what the adult Christian woman should be doing with her life so that by the time she is a widow, she can go on the widow's list. Of course, that was a practical matter for Paul, but it's a helpful everyday matter for us
It's a summary, isn't it,
right,
of what a godly woman was expected to be doing in New Testament times. Should godly women be expected to be doing totally different things? Are we not also responsible to take seriously what was the standard in those days? And I just am so grateful for your emphasis on the fact that this is what God says. This is the pattern for us godly women. Now, how can we do this in the late 20th century?
Right.
We're being told it's impossible, it's unrealistic, there's no way we can make it. But you've been encouraging us to believe that maybe God does have an answer. And I've had some amazing testimonies from women who did not think that they could make it financially. And yet, having read the scriptures and wanting to submit themselves in obedience to God, they prayed and said, Lord, is there another way? Can you show me some way that we can survive without my income? And it's just been amazing, mm-hmm. some of the stories that I've mm-hmm. heard from women mm-hmm. to whom God has shown mm-hmm. a way that never entered their heads mm-hmm. until they got down before Him and said, Lord, I really want to obey You. I want to do anything You say. Now show me.
Mm-hmm.
And God has showed mm-hmm. them. The first thing that I want to do when a woman says to me, there's no way, I can't do it, is, have you really tried God?
Mm-hmm.
I challenge you mm-hmm. to trust God for a different answer.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.